Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for All Saints Lutheran Church. I am Matthew Reese, the Director of Music Ministries. All Saints is located in Davenport, Iowa, and is a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Each week, we bring you a recording of the gospel lesson and sermon. Thank you for joining us on this journey of faith.
The Holy Gospel, according to Luke, beginning with the 21st chapter at the 25th verse. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth. Distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the power of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And so he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this world, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's hard to believe, isn't it? Already Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Why, the shopping days, it's all behind us. We were looking forward, now we're looking back at those times. And as I was saying in our children's sermon, today is the first Sunday of Advent. In our celebration, our celebration, we ought to have a tone for it. And we say that we eagerly await the coming days, which includes another Christmas celebration. A second coming and the Advent our Lord in word and supper. So we've got a big agenda ahead of us in Advent. Well, maybe. I don't know about you, but I sort of sometimes feel like I just drop into Advent. All of a sudden it's here, and I've been so wound up with Thanksgiving that I get to that Sunday after Thanksgiving, and oh man, it's Advent. Well, of course, my mind has not quite synchronized with the season yet, even today. I'm sort of getting there. But you know, I went over yesterday to do some shopping at Hy-Vee over here on 53rd. You walk in the door and you know what? There's the Christmas music. And there are the Christmas sales. And you see people starting to get the Christmas trees up. So in some times I feel a little like I'm in a suspended state of spiritual animation. I'm caught between the times before Advent and suddenly Advent is here and Christmas is on the horizon. But it's an odd perspective. These are the signs we think of when we think of Christmas coming. Christmas trees, Christmas decorations, Christmas music. But when you read our gospel today, it takes a very different look at things. Because here in the Gospel of Luke, we have Jesus, and he looks forward to God's promise of redemption. Now, I'm going to read it, but you're not going to hear anything about trees and wreaths and carols and cookies. Instead, Jesus says there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth, distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the power of heaven will be shaken. Whoa. Certainly a very dire prediction. I remember several years ago, we had a conversation in my family at our Thanksgiving dinner. And we got to looking back and we started thinking about how much the world has changed over the last 20 or 30 years. If you grew up in the 1950s or 60s or 70s, as I did, you remember the atmosphere, the way it was back then. It was like the world appeared to teeter on the edge of destruction. American and Soviet troops faced each other in Europe. Missile silos dotted the landscape of our nation. I can still recall, as a teenager living in Springfield, Illinois, going to various exhibits at the Illinois State Fairground, and I saw exhibits there of various types of bomb shelters. Think about that. Nuclear war was a clear and present danger in those days. People thought with fear and foreboding about what could come if there was a war. In fact, I'm reminded being an older individual, a baby boomer. Isn't that an odd thing to call somebody like me a baby boomer? But I remember the song Eve of Destruction sung by Barry McGuire back in about 1965. And the song is really a warning about an apocalypse. And I'm going to read you the lyric from that song. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Well, that song certainly captured some of the way people looked at things back then. It symbolized an era of destruction that appeared to be on the horizon. But then things seemed to change almost overnight. In the 1980s, the threat to national survival just appeared to disappear. One country after the other broke away from the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union itself broke up. Before long, there was a wave of change that even swept through Regina. Think of the change this way. China was once called Red because of its communist affiliation. But you know what? Even today, you could still call the country Red because all of our Christmas decorations are manufactured there for our Christmas trees. Change does not get more profound than that. And from what we hear, the Chinese government has so much money, it has become the major holder of American debt and one of our biggest trading partners. They've gone from enemy to trading partner. 20 or 30 years ago, there was apocalyptic stress among nations. People could have fainted from fear and foreboding of what is to come upon the world. But now, even with the war in Pakistan almost behind us, but one still going on in other places, we feel a little bit more secure. The national mood today may be more one of exhaustion and weariness than preparation for fight. So the question is, how then do we connect with a text like the one from the Gospel of Luke that we have today? Do we sit on the edge of our chair with expectation that suddenly we're going to see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory? Well, you say to yourself, the truth is 2,000 years have passed since this prediction was made. Maybe we find greater relevance to our Advent thinking in these words from the Gospel of Luke, and I read in part. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this world, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. Well, you read this and you say to yourself, the issue of drunkenness may not be a big one for any of us here. But the meaning of the verse is clear. We can lose sight of the fact that God continues to work in this world and that he continues to work through each of us. Instead, we become so focused on the little things in our life that we lose sight of that much broader picture of God's work among us. Many of us, in fact, have been secularized enough to know that our view of the world has sort of flattened out, and the advent of Jesus doesn't quite fit into a flattened out worldview very well. It's just too fantastic, we think to ourselves. It's too supernatural. In certain moods, we think it's maybe a little embarrassing even. I'm going to get a drink here for my throat. And it's an embarrassing advent. And so we leave it to those embarrassing Christians who have turned apocalyptic speculation into a billion-dollar industry in our country. Prophecy buffs with their computer charts and wrong predictions that are then folded back in new predictions in the kind of prophetic improvisation that a commentator, Paula Fredericks, called apocalyptic jazz. She's speaking about all the apocalyptic things you can hear on the television or radio in religious programming today, and she calls that apocalyptic jazz. When we hear that, when we hear people making those predictions, we sort of get tired of all that jazz, maybe a little embarrassed by it, by all those rapture bumper stickers we see on cars. And so we just sort of dismiss it. It's not the faithful thing to do, we know, but it's really more comfortable for us. And these days, truth be told, you know, we're all into comfort. People come to a church, and what do they tell you? You know what people always tell me when they come to a church first time? They're looking for someplace comfortable. And I always go, wow, I don't know if we can be a comfortable place. People want comfort food. They want comfortable vacations, comfortable routines. There's enough out there to unsettle us without being unsettled, we say to ourselves, by the thought of Christ suddenly appearing on our doorstep. Besides, for the most part, you know, life has really been pretty good for us. I'm not saying we don't have our individual heartaches, our fears, or disappointments. But really, for most of us, most of the time, life is actually pretty good. And when life is good, our prayers for the kingdom of God are not as passionate as they are when we live on the edge of despair. When life is good, we whisper our prayers for the kingdom. We pray, thy kingdom come. We pray and hope it won't really, because things are actually pretty good right now. Be on your guard, Jesus says, that you don't get weighed down with parochial anxieties and parochial amusements to relieve them. Be on guard against the fatal absorption with yourself. Take care, stay alert, stand up, and raise your heads, because the kingdom is coming. In that confidence, pray, work, and live for others. In the here and now, between then and then, live for others. There's a Christian theologian whose name is Lewis Smedes, and he says that hoping for others is hard to do, but not the hardest thing to do, and that praying for others is hard, but that's not the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing for people to do who believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ is living the kind of life that makes people say, oh, so that's how people are supposed to live when righteousness takes over the world. The hardest thing for us to do is simple faithfulness in the here and now, in our work, in our attitude, at our home. The hardest thing to do is to be faithful in a way that demonstrates that we are being drawn forward by that powerful force of the kingdom of God made visible in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. It is our prayer that this podcast is a blessing to you on your journey. For more information about All Saints, please visit us online at allsaintsdavenport.org. May God bless you this week and always.